It's the Dort Podcast. It's the Dort Podcast.
Rich Keith.
It's the Dort Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the hashtag Dort Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keefe, joined as always by Ryan Davey. Davey, how are you?
Oh, shit, what up?
Oh, you know what it is. I'll tell you what. They got us in a new studio. Nobody really cares, but I'm all out of sorts. I'm all out of sorts here. We might not have all of the bells and whistles that we normally do, but I'm okay. I can play road games. That's fine. I'm okay with that.
We just play jazz. That's what we do.
That's all we do. That's all we do. Ryan, we don't have time for small talk. Let's get into the news of the week. I don't have the sounder, so would you like to sing it for us?
I don't want to do that at all.
Okay. All right. Great. Other. Let's just dive right into it, Ryan. This week in Hashtag Dork, Zombieland 2 is happening. It'll be out October 2019, so a year from this fall. It'll be the 10-year anniversary from Zombieland 1. Woody Harrelson, Jesse Eisenberg, Emma Stone, Abigail Breslin, all on board. Do you care about this?
Yes, I do, actually.
Oh,
you thought I was going to come in with like a no, not really. But like, I kind of do.
You kind of do care about this.
The person I care about the least in this is Jesse Eisenberg, if you can believe that.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. His turn as Lex Luthor has soured many of people on it.
And not only that, but like in his subsequent like pressers he's done for like Now You See Me and Justice League and all that stuff, he just seems like a smug prick. Am I off on that?
No, you're not off on that. And it's too bad because he had a few movies where I was like, you know what? I think I like this guy. I think he's a pretty good actor. And then you're like, yeah, he's kind of... And speaking of Now You See Me, apparently like magicians, I'm not one. I wish I was. It's just not meant to be. But magicians hate that movie because it's like it's so wrong. Like everything about it is not like what magicians do. And like everything they do is bullshit in the movie. But...
Have you ever called out a bad magician on a trick?
I have not, because
we don't call them tricks.
They are illusions. I'm a very easy mark for magicians. They can do anything. Like they're like, pick a card. I pick the card, and I'm like already in. I'm like, this is going to be amazing.
They get very upset when you see something you're not supposed to see.
Yeah. Well.
And you're like, hey, I saw that. And they're like, oh, you did? Oh, you did? You know what I mean? Like they get like really pissed off about it, so...
Well, maybe I try to just enjoy it. I see that as entertainment. I try not to dwell on it too much.
Yeah.
Ryan, guess what? South Park Season 22 is going to premiere Wednesday, September 26th. This is pretty intense.
That's pretty intense. 22 seasons. I mean, it's never going to catch The Simpsons, I don't think.
No, I don't think so. But they keep pumping them out, and they do shorter seasons, and I like how they do it. And it's still really good. They've said before they're going to do like a little bit less politics, and I kind of hope that they go that route, you know, and just have it more focused on like stupid kid stuff. But they obviously have a lot of topical humor as well. So
no, I think stay away from politics. There's enough messed up stuff in the world where you don't have to do politics all the time. And granted, that's
I agree.
Like, you know, that's kind of the low hanging fruit right now. But I'm proud of them. Like they care, but like I'm proud of them for going like you know what, there's other funny stuff we can talk about. Like everyone's kind of piling on the presidency and government
right.
and whatever. So let's get off. That.
Let's do something a little bit different. Speaking of a little bit different, Ryan, one of the great graphic novels that I've ever read, start to finish, the thing is all done. It's called Why the Last Man. And it's going to be a show on FX, and they've already made some of the casting. Diane Lane is going to play Senator Jennifer Brown, who is the mother of Yorick Brown, or Y, who is going to be played, I forget the actor's name, some dude, he was in Dunkirk. He looks fine. He looks like he could
Barry Cohen.
Okay.
Is his name. And if you look at him, and it's spelled like Keogan, but if you know your Gaelic pronunciations.
And I like to think that I do.
E-O-G-H-N is actually pronounced Owen.
I think this has the makings of what could be a pretty good show.
And this kid, Barry Cohen, or Keoghan. I believe it's Cohen. He looks like J.V. Ezra Miller. He looks exactly like Ezra Miller.
I like Ezra Miller.
A little bit more clean cut.
I like Ezra Miller. Ezra Miller actually would have been a good role, good casting. But
funny you say that because I'm looking at the page. They're actually the same age.
How about that?
Yeah.
Perhaps twins.
I think Ezra's got his plate full right now, though.
I think he does as well. Speaking of his plate being full in the DC universe, Ryan, have you seen some photos for both Shazam and Aquaman?
Yeah, so let's start with the Aquaman one. So I tweeted something out, and people, I think I like just responded direct. I didn't retweet it. I responded directly to the poster.
Yeah.
And I was like, there's no way that like Orcas and Stingray would be in like the same waters.
Unless you can control all the fish in the sea.
Or you could, yeah, but like even then, like a tropical fish and like an almost Arctic whale, like you're going to put them in the same, like that doesn't, they'll die.
Yeah, it seems a little odd. And also,
and then,
well, I know.
Then I sparked some like weird debate among people, like, well, you know, and I'm like,
fish debate.
I'm trying to make a joke. Trying to make a joke.
Yeah, just trying to have a little bit of a fun with it. But the DC people, they take themselves very seriously. And I would have even lumped myself in as a DC person. But you just got to call a spade a spade. The movies aren't very good. So
no. And then you got them standing there dead red in the middle of the poster with some like weird light source that's coming from God knows where, and he's wearing leather pants underwater.
Yeah.
Like
what
even
movie?
If you're Aquaman and you can swim at the speed of sound, like, you're probably not going to wear leather pants.
All right, two different questions for you. What movie will be better in your mind, Aquaman or Shazam? And what movie will have the better Rotten Tomatoes score?
Both will be Aquaman.
Hmm. Unless they're coming at it from a different angle where we're like, we're going to be so in on the joke. Like, if they could make it, they could flip the genre on its head, Ryan, potentially. Or it's going to be the worst movie ever.
I think it's just going to be stupid.
Like, yeah.
Stupid.
I don't really care for that Zachary Levi guy. Not a fan.
The suit looks stupid.
The suit looks dumb as hell. It looks like you could go to Toys R Us, pick of the pod, and pick out that suit, try it on, and wear it around. Like, anybody could do it.
Like, I've seen better costumes at, like, Halloween Warehouse.
Yeah, exactly. It looks like a bag of shit. But then Aquaman looks like Aquaman.
Yeah, but whatever.
I don't know, man. It's just, it's not great. Anyway, Ryan, have you seen one episode has been out of Who is America, the new Sacha Baron Cohen show?
I saw the 10-minute clip that they did with the guy, like the gun nut.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. With like getting the preschoolers all armed.
Yeah.
So it wasn't bad. I think, you know, it's similar to the Ali G show where he's going to interview a lot of politicians, but then he's also going to interview some people that, you know, just because they're going to say some weird stuff. So he has four brand new characters, and maybe I'll warm up to them, but as it stands right now, the best of the four wouldn't crack the top three on the Ali G show.
No, and what I found in watching this clip, the show might have been different. I didn't watch the entire episode, but I heard, like you said, like it was good, not great. And what I've sensed from that is that, like, it's not as lighthearted as, like, Ali G or, like, the Bruno or whatever. Like, there was, like, a silliness to that, and, like, this isn't that. Like, it's he's, like, trying to show people just how ridiculous the United States of America is right now.
Yeah, and like,
it's,
I feel like,
playful.
Right, and going back to what we're saying about South Park, it's like, a lot of us, we already kind of know. We're, like, trying to get away from it, you know, when you're watching these shows, and it's, like, just bringing it back. I know the numbers were really bad. Like, it's a Showtime show, which I can't imagine television shows on Showtime. Like, what, like, Shameless? Like, there's not really that many. But the numbers, I guess, were not very good for the first week.
And you got to think, if it's on Showtime, that means, because Ali G was on HBO.
Yes.
So you got to believe that HBO was like, no, we're going to pass on.
They may have turned it down. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of that, I watched the first episode of Sharp Objects with Amy Adams on HBO.
Sure.
I think
sure.
I like it. I think I'm in. Yeah. It was a little bit of a slow burn, but I think I'm in.
Yeah, not to big time you, but I did read the book.
Oh, boy, Jesus.
I haven't watched the show
yet. Let's
just
stop recording right now.
Actually, you know what? No, I'm going to take that back. You know what? I didn't read the book, Richard.
You just lied about reading the book?
No, I didn't. Well, kind of. I listened to the audiobook in the car when I lived in Boston, and I used to have a longer commute.
Ooh, judges? Yep, that counts. That counts.
That counts.
Listen to the audiobook. That might even be more nerdy. I don't know.
Audiobooks are awesome, especially if you get a good narrator.
Yeah. Who did it? Amy Adams?
I forget, but the woman who did it was quite nice, quite good.
The same voice as Suri on the iPhone.
One of the best, Neil Gaiman does all his own audiobooks.
Ooh, that I would listen to. Okay, yeah. I should get American Gods. I picked that up in the bookstore the other day, and by picked it up, I mean I physically picked it up. I didn't buy it, but I was looking at it, I was flipping through it, and I was like, I should read this, but I'm just not gonna.
Yeah.
Anyway, Stranger Things had a teaser, Ryan, where it looks like Hawkins is getting a mall
and a new character.
And a new character. What, the girl that was with Steve in the ice cream shop, you think?
Yep. Yeah, sure.
I think it looks pretty good. I'm all in on Stranger Things. I've talked to some people that said, well, season two was fine. I'm kind of done with it. I'm like, not me. I'm balls deep in Stranger Things.
I'm all in. I like it. I like that era. I like the dynamic with the characters and all that stuff. And I wonder where, I just need to see where it's going to go. And if they're smart, they end it. with three.
I think you're probably right. And not so much of a hot chili hot take, but don't you get the sense after seeing some of the kids, you know, at some of these award shows and things, they're not all going to make it, man. Like, there's going to be a couple that have, like, the traditional child star issues, is my guess.
I do like the kid, was it Finn Wolfhard, the kid who was in It, too?
I think he definitely, because he's already known for things outside of Stranger Things, where every other kid is, that's the Stranger Things kid, that's the Stranger Things kid.
Like, I love, what's her name? Millie Bobby Brown.
Yeah, she's
like
awesome.
She's 11 the rest of her life.
Yeah, probably. Probably.
You know, it's the curse of, like, you did too good of a job with it, kid. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
well, and that actually segues pretty good into our topic du jour. Now, Ryan, is it okay with you? Because we have a lot to get to. We don't have a ton. We're kind of sandwiching time. I don't know if I told you guys about we're in a different studio, so I'm all a whack. Should we skip the Davey video game minute and get right to the topic du jour?
Only if you promise me that it could be longer than a minute next week.
Yes, it can. In fact, next week, I believe we're just going to take a look at everything, all the trailers and things from San Diego Comic-Con. So next week would be...
I'm going to sandwich it in there.
Yeah, it'd be very welcome to have a nice long video game minute.
Yep. It's all right.
All right, topic du jour time. You ready, sir?
What?
It's the topic of the day. And today we are going back. It is season one of Breaking Bad. And it's going to be all spoilers. And I think... Yeah. Now, we're going to try to focus on season one, but... If you're one of the few people out there, and we actually got some of the tweets and emails about this, that people hadn't seen it, they knew we were going to do it, so we're going to start it. I don't want to spoil future seasons. I might not do it on purpose, but just I feel like I have to warn you. Like, if I say something in season one and be like, and we know how that ends, like, you might want to just hit pause right now, is my guess.
Still download the episode, obviously.
You're already here. You've already had 11 great minutes of content. My point would be we're going to be very focused on these 7 episodes, but it's going to be tough not to mention something down the road, right? That's only fair.
Yeah, and because there are certain things, and now again, this show has been off the air for 5 years.
Right.
So...
Kind of on you, like I guess.
10 years ago was the airing of the first episode. Like, if you're on board, you're on board. But I will say before we get into this, definitely hit pause if you are ever interested in watching this show. In my mind, this is the most airtight television series ever put on the small screen. Because you think of, like, there's everyone who loves Game of Thrones, and they're like, well, there's, like, these plot holes, and, like, I don't really understand this. And even with The Sopranos, like, people are like, this didn't make any sense. Everything in this show makes sense.
Yeah, I think for me, I still like The Wire slightly more, but Breaking Bad is the only other show I can really listen to somebody's argument on. This is the greatest show of all time, and here's why. I think Game of Thrones, as much as I love it, the million characters does kind of throw people off a little bit. You know, if you go back and look at every single storyline that happened, you could probably trace a few that said, was that really important? Like, did we really need to do that? Sopranos is the same way. You're like, was that necessary? You're like, turns out it really wasn't. Whereas Breaking Bad, everything goes somewhere. Everything is, like you said, done for a reason.
Yeah, and that's one of the most fascinating, why I've rewatched this entire series 4 times. Like, I'll just throw it, like, studied is the wrong word.
Yeah.
But I'm fascinated with this show.
Yeah.
For so many reasons. And I beg you, if you haven't watched this show yet, you need to watch it.
Yeah, it's available on Netflix right now, so it's easy to just sit down, pour through. You know, a lot of people, I think, binge-watched. I think Shark watched it from the beginning, and he told me it's good. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. And then I think it was either season 2 or season 3 where I started watching it live. The first season, which we're going to talk about, came out in 2008. It was only 7 episodes on AMC. I did not watch it. So I think what I did was I got the DVDs later on and then watched the show, like with everybody else, weekly. But for the first season, I think the first 2 seasons, actually, I watched them all like right in a row and was like, this show is amazing. And the first thing, Ryan, is it's a 7-episode season one. Why was it only 7 episodes?
So I was reading this article that they did with the 10th anniversary of Breaking Bad, and they were talking to Vince Gilligan, and they were saying that when this show went into production, it was actually a very, like, lightning in a bottle kind of thing. So AMC was going through this whole thing because he even said it himself, and you're going to like this. He's like, AMC wants to meet with you about your show. Everywhere it turned it down.
Right.
Everywhere that he put it and turned it down, and then someone's like, AMC wants to meet with you about your project, and he's like, isn't AMC that station that shows fucking Short Circuit 2 every day?
I love Short Circuit 2, but yes, that's a blow. Well, actually, Ryan, real quick, I'll let you continue your story, but TNT, Showtime, and HBO all rejected like the pitch of the show, and FX was actually set to develop the pilot, but then they ultimately passed in favor of Courtney Cox's show Dirt because they were trying to get more of a female audience on FX.
Yeah, so I was reading, which is crazy.
Yeah,
like FX. But anyway, so Vince Gilligan, everywhere passes on this that he submitted it to, except for AMC, and AMC had just signed on to do Mad Men, but it hadn't gone into production yet. So there was like these two shows that they had that they knew were good. They just didn't know if people were going to watch them or not. So what happens is while they're in the middle of production of season one with Breaking Bad, the writer's strike happens. Now,
right,
there were 60 or something shows that all fell victim to this writer's strike, Heroes being one of them. Heroes was a really good show the first season. Friday Night Lights was another one.
Friday Night Lights, we talked about that. That took a major blow. They soldiered through it. They had a rough patch. Yep. You can probably identify the episodes where the writer's strike happened, and then they bounced back after. But like right in the middle of the series, they had a bit of an issue.
So instead of doing that, what they did was they cut Breaking Bad from 9-episode first season to 7 and kept their original, because those were already written. So that's like what saved this show.
Yeah, because who knows what they would have done. And then they would have had some bad episodes in there or things that they would have had to make up for. And it also kind of worked out where Walter White, and we'll go through this episode by episode, but Walter White, the original plan was for him to basically go kind of full heel at the end of season one. But because they didn't have those final two episodes, that gets pushed into season two, which I think is great because he's still, you're teetering on the fence of like, all right, well, like, what is he capable of? Like, what is he willing to do? Is he a good guy? Is he a bad guy? Is he somewhere in between? So that's why I think season one is great. I mean, it actually it helped. They were kind of lucky in that regard, I guess.
Yeah, and what else was super lucky too is that like Gilligan heard about this writer's strike and they could like spell like basically the end of the show. So the last two, he wrote the last two episodes that were basically like the finale, like this is the end of the show. So I'm going to throw the kitchen sink at it. And actually, he had, this isn't a spoiler because it never happened, but he had Jesse and Hank dying at the end of season one.
Oh, that's right. Which is crazy. And I guess, which, you know, Aaron Paul did such a good job as Jesse that they ended up keeping him around for.
And what a unbelievably lucky thing that those two episodes never got produced, because that would have completely ruined the show.
Oh, it would have been terrible. Like Walter White gets all the attention, as he should, as being one of the great characters of all time. But Jesse Pinkman is right there. I mean, he's right up there at the top. And that's why we're talking about Stranger Things. Like, Bryan Cranston at least has been in other things. Obviously, he was in Malcolm in the Middle, and he's been in other TV shows and movies. And I know Aaron Paul has as well. But that, talk about a guy who, like, you're Jesse Pinkman. Like, Kramer is Kramer. And, like, you're Jesse Pinkman. Like, anytime I see him and pop up in anything, you're like, oh, there's Jesse. Like, that's what he is.
Well, what's fascinating to me about this show, too, is that, like, through the five seasons, it's five seasons, right?
Yes.
Yep. Through the five seasons, it tells a singular story.
Right.
Like, there's not this whole thing where, like, oh, well, that's the season where, like, The Wire, where they're like, oh, that's this season, or that's that season, or
right.
Like Dexter, where it's like, this tells one story throughout.
And just how crazy it can get from where it started. And so let's start there. Episode one is just called Pilot. It's the very first episode. It's a little bit longer. So if you're watching on Netflix, they're all about 48 minutes because it was an hour-long show. They took the commercials out. This one's like a full hour. So I think it must have been 90 minutes or whatever when it debuted. And you immediately start out. Walt's in the RV. He's got the gas mask on. He's got no pants on. He's driving through the desert. He crashes the RV. Then he records a video for his family and pulls out a gun, waiting for the sirens to find him. That's how the series starts. And I forget, like, after there's 62 episodes total, and after watching the whole thing in order, I forgot just how quick the show starts. Like, it's just right out of the gate. You're like, all right, here's what you're in for. I remember thinking, like, looking back on it, I was anticipating more of a slow burn, but it is not at all.
No, you're expecting like some character development. You expect to be introduced to some people and like what their motivations are. And like right out of the gate, like, you have this guy who's like running around in his Y fronts and in his briefs. You know what I mean? He's driving the RV, and it's crazy, and like the music's going crazy, and like he just like crashes, and like you said, there's that video that he does for his family. You know, I did this for you, and yada yada yada.
Oh my God, you got bodies in the back. You got a guy passed out on the right. Like you don't know it's Jesse yet, but you have a guy passed out there, and it's just chaos. And then it gives you the title on the screen. It says 3 weeks earlier, and yep. You know Walter's turning 50. His kid seems like a bit of a shithead. Walt Jr., like the first time you're introduced to him, he's complaining about the hot water. He's complaining about bacon. He's making fun of his dad for being old. It seems like things aren't going great for Walt. Like he's at least 10 years older than his wife, and she has become one of the most annoying characters in television history.
But like, what a great starting off point. Because now that you have, again, I don't want to get into the other seasons, but now that you have the full picture, it's the first thing. She puts the plate down in front of him, and it says 50 on it. And like, in my literary mind, it's like, all right, 50, you're right in the middle.
Right.
And you just get this like picture of like, and he's wearing like, basically Walter White's wearing like all khaki.
Oh, like, yeah. He is just science teacher Joe America. He's a ham and egger. He's just he's your regular
literally,
dude.
Literally a ham and egger.
Like, he's a ham and egger with bacon on his birthday. But it's like a special kind of bacon because he's 50. He can't be, you know, unhealthy.
Yeah, it's like turkey bacon.
It's like a shit bacon that Walt Jr. Doesn't want to eat.
And basically you get the picture. This guy's life sucks. Like right before he's even diagnosed with cancer. Like his life sucks.
His life sucks. Yeah, we have no idea about the cancer. He lives in Albuquerque, New Mexico, just like an average size house, a wife who he's probably kind of annoyed with, a kid who doesn't really like him anymore, or at least shows that, you know, complains all the time. That's just what he is. And he's got a science job, and the kids in class don't pay attention to him and all this other stuff.
And his wife's pregnant, which is a stress on everybody.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like that's like,
yeah, pregnant at 50 too. I guess the original script, Walter White was supposed to be 40. But I think AMC was like, well, you know, if it's like a midlife crisis, maybe make him a little bit older. Like for him to go to the length that he's about to go to, they're like, make him a little bit older. So
think of how different this would have been if they cast either John Cusack or Matthew Broderick, who were their first choices for Walter White.
Yeah, that would have been brutal. I think Cusack probably could have pulled it off. Matthew Broderick would have been terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible choice.
I don't think he's got the chops to go heel.
I don't think so at all. I would not have liked that. And that's another one of the things is Vince Gilligan really liked the idea of the whole cast like not really being famous. Like Bryan Cranston was probably the most famous, and even he was not an A-list celebrity actor before this show.
Right.
So he liked the idea of kind of obscure people in there. So then at Walt's 50th birthday party, Hank, his brother-in-law, turns the TV on because he's being interviewed about this meth bust. And Walt, like, immediately, like, light bulbs go off. He's like, like, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money going on right there. Then this was an interesting scene. Skyler gives Walt an old-fashioned in bed while they're talking.
Yeah.
How do you like that?
She's, like, watching her eBay thing, and she's just, you know, cranking them. She said, it's all about you.
Just cranking him. Now, he wasn't super fired up about it.
Who would be?
No, she's got her laptop out. She's not even looking at him. She's talking about something. She's buying, you know, tchotchkes, and then she's just giving him a rub and tug.
She's trying to sell some bobble.
I don't know. Oh, so then Walt also, to make extra money, is working at a car wash with a terrible boss. So he collapses at the car wash, goes to the hospital. That's where we find out that he has lung cancer.
Yep.
And
there's a humiliating scene where the shithead in his class is like, you know, trying to mac on the girl, and he's like, "What's wrong with your table?" And the kid like goes to the table, and then that kid, he's washing that kid's wheels of his car.
Yeah,
like because the guy needed him to like help him out, or like bogged on eyebrows.
Yeah, oh my God, those are some.
And I remember
caterpillars.
Just, like, watching that with like tight eyes, like eyes closed, because it's the most like humiliating thing.
Oh, it's so bad.
And I'll tell you this, as a teacher, like, kids look at you when they see you outside of the classroom, like, out of context, they look at you like they're looking at an animal in the zoo.
Yeah, it's very strange.
You know what I mean? It's a very, like, you remember, like, seeing your teachers, like, out, like, doing stuff?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, I've seen, like, kids, like, run away from me. It's really strange.
I don't know what to do. I did like when his boss told him to wipe down the cars, and this is after he freaked out at him, and he was ripping stuff down, and then he grabbed his dick and said, "Wipe down this."
Yeah,
so that was good.
A good one.
So then Walt, you know, he's a little inspired, so he ends up going on the ride along with Hank, and they're in search of Captain Cook, And that's how we're introduced to Jesse Pinkman, who apparently goes by the name of Captain Cook. Now, if you remember that scene, what I don't understand is, so they go to the house. They have an informant. So they go to the house. They arrest Captain Cook, or Jesse's partner. And meanwhile, Jesse is next door hooking up with a girl. We see her breasts. So shout out to Mac. He could, you know, that's a good scene for him. So he jumps out of the window at the neighbor's house. So he doesn't get arrested. But then he gets into his car, and the goddamn license plate is the captain. How did they not stop that guy? How did they let him get away? His license plate is the captain.
The first time I saw this, I'm like, oh, funny. And then I'm thinking about it. I'm like, why didn't he just stay in the house? Like, if he was next door,
right?
Like, why did he run? And then I'm like, oh, because he needed to get out of there with the car.
Yeah, but he,
you know what I mean? Not only that, but like, if you saw the car and you're like, there's someone with a license plate that says the captain on it, like, run the plate. Like,
right,
you know,
you could easily find out where he is, and even though, like, at his house, he covers up the car, like, yeah, you're still in the system. You have a vanity plate. They can find you.
Yeah.
But so all these cops, they go flying into the house. They come back out. They arrest the one guy. And the whole time, right outside the house, there was a car that said the captain on it. So that was a little much. He's also known for adding chili powder to his meth, which is
disgusting.
Which is kind of gross. That's not how I like my meth, Ryan. I hold the chili powder, please. So this is where Walt and Jesse, you get the sense, all right, these guys know each other, and clearly Jesse was a student from before. So Walt meets up with him, and he blackmails him into teaming up with him. Jesse doesn't want to, and I think this is an important theme in the entire show, is count how many times Jesse tries to be done with this kind of lifestyle, and Walt convinces him to keep doing it.
And this is where, and this is the most fascinating piece of the show, is that when you're introduced to Jesse, he's the bad guy. Like, he's the drug dealer. And, like, they try to paint him as, like, this, like, low-level, kind of, like, nobody shithead who's, like, a drug dealer who just gets Walt into this world.
Mm-hmm.
The beauty of this is that the entire time, and you get this in season one, too, we'll get to that, but, like, what you find out down the road is that, like, you said, Jesse just wants out. Like, Jesse just wants to be, because that's not him.
No, he wants to make some money, but he doesn't really want to be, like, a full-on criminal. Like, he's not looking to be, like, this mastermind. He just, you saw him have, like, job interviews before. It didn't go very well. So he just wants to make money and, like, live his life. He's not looking to make billions of dollars. He doesn't need to be an intimidating force or anything. He doesn't care. He just wants to live his life. And Walt keeps dragging him back in there. And so Jesse still doesn't know that Walt has lung cancer. He just knows that he was a stick-in-the-mud teacher who failed him in chemistry. Yeah. Then we get the scene where Walt sticks up for Walter Jr. in the clothing store when the guys were kind of bullying him and whatever.
Yeah.
Now we get Crazy 8 and Emilio, and they want Walt to cook for them. And Walt's like, hey, I'll teach you how to do it. Gets him into the RV. Basically kills him with science, or at least we think he kills him with science.
Yep.
And then now we're back to where the episode began. Like, so now we're right there at the start of it. And what's crazy, which I did not remember at all until rewatching it, is in the scene where, you know, you got the bodies in the RV, which has already been crashed. Walt's waiting for the sirens, which of course end up being firefighters, not police officers. He takes the gun, holds it underneath his chin, and pulls the trigger, but it just clicks.
Yeah. It just clicks.
That could have been the series right there.
That could have been it.
But the gun was loaded because then, like, so it clicked and then he shot the ground and a bullet came flying out. So he tried to kill himself in that episode.
He did.
Now Walt and Skyler have sex. What you can tell here is Walter is so turned on about being a criminal. Like, him breaking the law is what gives him juice. Earlier in the episode, couldn't get a hard-on because while she was giving him an old-fashioned. Now, and this is the move they do in movies, too, where you have, like, an older guy who's, you know, maybe past his prime a little bit. When he turns the wife over to go from behind, that's when he means business. That's where you're like, wait a minute, he's taking his life back. And then Skyler's like, ooh, Walt, is that you? Suggesting that he normally has a tiny pecker, now he has a giant pecker.
BDE.
That's how I read it. I don't know how you read it.
No, and there's definitely a a vigor there that wasn't there before.
Yes.
If I'm just to put it like, you know, there's a...
I agree with that completely.
Like, I like your word juice. There's some more juice.
There was
that,
definitely some more juice. So episode one ends with them having sex. Episode two, called Cats in the Bag, begins with them having sex. And now he's dealing with all the events from episode one. So Crazy Eight in the RV, he's still alive. Like, you end up, he's still alive. Also, some pretty funny stuff in here is Skylar's kind of onto him. She's like, what's going on? Because Jesse calls the house. And he's like, you know, we got to deal with the situation. Walt pretends like it's somebody else. So Skylar star 69s him. And Jesse's answering machine is hilarious. Like, it's like, yo, what up, biatch? It's like this whole long thing. And so Skylar's no idea. She goes to his online page, which was... not Facebook or MySpace. It was called a shout page.
A shout page, yeah. And it's just like naked women and pot leaves.
And pot leaves. In fact, the general interests for Jesse are fine herbage, keeping it real, Ju Ryu Kai Kung Fu, banging the skins with my smoking band, European motocross, and MILFs.
Yeah, I remember, like, what's a MILF?
No. And then his education, it says, is J.P. Wynn High School, DeVry University, and the street, yo.
DeVry University. Remember they used to have those commercials, like, all the time? Like, DeVry University.
Oh, yeah, you know? Nonstop.
Like,
you couldn't get away from it. And so now, Crazy 8 is locked up in the basement at Jesse's house. Emilio is dead. Crazy 8 is still alive. They don't know what to do with him. Walt and Jesse are trying to figure it out. So they flip a coin, and Walt has to kill Crazy 8. Jesse has to dip them into an acid bath. Now, Ryan, if you were in that same situation, what would you choose?
I would choose the acid bath.
Me too, because that guy's already dead.
He's already dead.
Yeah, that's true.
And there's a self-defense aspect to that where, like, he did that because they were clearly – Emilio and Crazy 8 were clearly going to kill them.
Oh, they had guns put on them for sure. Oh, yeah, they were definitely going to kill them. So I wouldn't feel as bad, but you're right. It's still pretty messed up.
And here is one of the first turning points you have for Walt, because at the time, you know, he's just – I'm just cooking this stuff. Like, I'm not – in his mind, it's a victimless crime. Like, I'm making this stuff. I'm making money. People want this stuff. I'm providing a service. That's it. You know,
right,
and then
right.
Dealing with Crazy 8, you find that this is one of the turning points for Walt. Now, this is also, you see the dynamic for the first of all, and the way, what happens with the acid bath is probably one of the most gruesome things I've ever seen on television.
Oh, my God. I know, and on AMC. Like, I know AMC gets away with some more stuff than, you know, like NBC or ABC would, but it's also not HBO. And so for them to do some of that was insane, but also shows you like how Walt like applies science. Like, not only does he know how to make meth, but he's like, I know how to get rid of a body. And so he's telling Jesse to get those, like, the plastic tubs, because that'll work. He puts them in the bathtub. That's still, again, 62 episodes. That's one of the most memorable scenes in the entire series, is the bathtub going through the house like that.
Season 1, episode 2.
Yeah.
And you still have 60 more episodes after that, which is crazy. But again, it's Walter and Jesse interacting. Would you see them interacting with their dynamic for the first time, where Walt's trying to teach Jesse something that he might not necessarily want to learn, but he's like, you're going to have to learn. Like,
right.
I told you to get the – what did I tell you? I told you to get the plastic because the acid doesn't eat through the plastic. It eats through porcelain. You idiot. And it's basically him just, like, berating Jesse.
Right. Yeah, no, it's definitely what he's doing. And then so Jesse – or Skylar asks Walt, who's Jesse Pinkman? And then so quick thinking by Walt, he says he's his pot dealer. And then Skylar ends up confronting Jesse, and then so they have that explanation. And then at the very end of this episode, there's a kid out in the desert who finds the gas mask that got left behind,
which has the inscription of the high school on it.
Right. And it also... Yeah. That sort of, I don't know if it's a theme or what you would call it, where a kid sort of stumbles upon something he's not supposed to see, they go back to that in Breaking Bad a couple of times.
And it's one of those vehicles where it's almost like, I want to say it's, but it's not chance. It's like fate. Like, it's always coming back.
Right.
It's always like, and if you look at the end of the series versus the beginning of the series, you know it was always going to end that way. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And we're two episodes in, and Walter White, 50-year-old husband, father, science teacher, is already a murderer. Again, he hasn't killed Crazy 8 yet, but he killed Emilio. He's made drugs, and he kidnapped Crazy 8. So, yep. Like, the crimes he's already committed are off the charts, and we're 2 hours into the show.
And we're 2 hours into the show, and you already see the conflict within this version of Walt, where he's, like, you know, he's giving Crazy 8, like, a sandwich, and he's got him locked up with a bike lock against, like, a pole.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
You know, and it's brutal. It's bad. Like, it's bad.
So episode 3 is called And the Bags in the River, because again, episode 2 is Cats in the Bags. This is And the Bags in the River. You get flashbacks to Walt's work before becoming a teacher. And that ends up being sort of a theme throughout this season and going forward, how he wasn't just a science teacher. Like, it's even more of a letdown for him because he was a part of this company with Elliot. We don't get Elliot yet, but we get, was it Gretchen? It's sort of the things that he's working on and, like, how much money he could be making and, like, a completely different path his life could have gone down.
And there's this whole thing where he and Gretchen are talking about, like, your body is made up. As they're scooping up liquefied remains of Emilio, mm-hmm. they're going through this description of, like, what makes up the human body, and it's not, the math isn't correct. And they're like, well, what's the other part of it? And they, at the end of the episode, they say, like, well, it must be the soul.
Yeah.
Is what you're, what we're missing. You know?
Right, so right.
There is, so the idea that that's a tangible part of a person's body, and that can be, like, broken, or that can be mm-hmm. removed, and then you have this change in Walt that happens in this episode. Take it away, Richard.
And then I also, you get Crazy 8 says to Walt while he's locked up, he says, this stuck out to me, he said, this line of work doesn't suit you.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know, man.
I don't think it suits you.
It might. Then, you know, there's the storyline in here about Walter Jr. Smoking weed, but he's not, but Skyler thinks that he is, and so Hank talks to Walt Jr. about weed, tries to, like, scare him straight a little bit, whatever. Walt and Crazy 8 have, like, this heart-to-heart. You find out Crazy 8's name is Domingo. There's, like, this long conversation in the basement. You mentioned, you know, making him sandwiches, cutting the crust off, and all this other stuff, but he drops the plate because Walt's still dealing. He hasn't told anybody he has lung cancer, so he's still dealing with that. He goes to bring him, like, a bologna sandwich, drops the plate. It goes into a million pieces. He wakes up after being unconscious for, like, 10 minutes, puts all the plate together, goes upstairs, makes him another sandwich, but then realizes that there's a piece, like a jagged piece of the plate that is missing.
Yep.
And so he was probably, like, he was trying to come up with a reason to let Crazy 8 go, but then he realized, like, he has, like, a shiv, and he's got it, you know, on him, and he's just talking nice to him so he'll let him go. So then he goes down and chokes him to death. Like, he takes the goddamn bike lock and chokes him to death. So if you want to say that, hey, the first death he did, kind of self-defense, and it was with a... you know, with science, like, it exploded something in the RV and, like, the toxins, whatever, got to the guy. This one is hands-on, and now he's already killed 2 people 3 episodes in.
Yeah, and again, this is one of the big steps that he takes towards, you know, becoming Heisenberg, is actually killing somebody.
Right.
You know, and it's another one that's just kind of hard to watch, you know, because it's pretty intimate is the word I would use, where he's like,
yeah.
It's not like he's shooting someone from a mile away, or it's not like he's, you know, blowing him up.
No, and like Crazy 8, like,
hands-on.
He's like, he's struggling. You see him, he stabs him in the leg a couple of times with that piece of the plate. He's going nuts. And then so at the end of the episode, it's crazy because Walt says, Skyler, there's something I have to tell you. And it's really, he's talking about cancer. He's not talking about, oh, I murdered 2 people already.
Yeah.
So episode 4 is called Cancer Man. And now Hank is looking for Crazy 8 because they know, like, they, you know, the drug trade and Crazy 8. They're now looking for him
because they found his car out by that site.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So wait, was Emilio the informant or was it Crazy 8? Like, one of those guys must have been the informant, right?
I think they find out down the road that it was Crazy 8.
Okay. All right. Okay. So Walt now finally tells his family, and you know, that he has cancer. And then you can see immediately, like, why he hadn't told them, because they all start freaking out. They all start telling him what he should do and, you know, all that stuff. So you can see on his face right away. He's like, this is not why I did not want to do this.
Yeah.
We also, in this episode, we see Jesse's parents for the first time. And he has a little brother who they prop up as, like, this great little kid and everything else. You realize that he actually is probably more like Jesse than his parents would be willing to admit. You know, he's hiding weed over the house and stuff like that.
And this was an interest, because this is the first time you see Jesse as not kind of, because remember there's that scene where he's in his old bedroom and he takes out like his old artwork and, you know, how he's smiling at it and he's kind of like tearing up, like looking at it. Like, this is a person who had some potential, just didn't really connect that way.
Right.
Just couldn't connect the dots, and then found his, but this is a kid, like, he's an artist. He's, and he keeps telling Walt, like, as he's, you're an artist. And he's like, no, it's science. He's like, no.
Yeah, right.
Because, see, that always stuck with me, that he was very interested in art, because he, the persona of Jesse is like, because he's not very big, and his clothes are, his clothes are even too big for him, which is like, it's a representation of like, he's not who he thinks he is.
Right, exactly. You know? Like, I think he's gone down this kind of path. Like, he probably wasn't great in school. He has other things that he's good at, but he got kind of caught up in this, and this is like how he's been making money. And so you find out that he's able to sell it, and Walt's like really frustrated with him, because he's like, we just made all this meth, and how much did you sell it for? And Jesse's like, well, it's not easy just to start selling meth. Like, he's like well, why didn't you sell it all to somebody? He's like, that's not how it works. Like, I don't know what you think this is. And so they obviously have an issue.
And this is and by the end of the season you're like, no, that's exactly how this works. Walt was right the whole time. He's like, no, you have to find the person like Tuco who you can give pounds of this stuff to right out of the chute.
Right. You can't just be going around and, like, at parties and selling it. And like, they made like $4,000 a piece or whatever on the first go. So Jesse gets kicked out of the house, as we said, because the maid found the joint. He didn't, you know, throw his brother under the bus, obviously. You also get that guy, Ken, the guy who's always on his Bluetooth and is like super obnoxious. And
this was awesome.
And so Walt ends up blowing up his car, that guy at the end. And so, like, you see him throughout the episode, and he's just such a dickhead. That guy also is in Better Call Saul. He's in an episode of Better Call Saul where Saul and what's her name, the girl that he hangs out with all the time, they kind of like really screw with him. But it's the same kind of thing. Like, he's just like an asshole, but he pops up in Better Call Saul as well.
And I knew I recognized that actor, and because I'm a big Office fan, he's the ad guy who comes when they do the commercial. Like, he's the guy who comes and pitches the commercial to Michael.
Oh, that's great.
And he's like, that sucks. And he's like, well, that was art. That's our idea. You know?
That's great.
Yeah.
So that was a good callback. Also, they're saying that Better Call Saul, which comes out, I think, later on this summer, I believe, they're eventually going to be catching up to the Breaking Bad timeline. Because Breaking Bad, we already said it came out in 2008, so that's where it's set. Better Call Saul, I think, started in like 2002. So they're eventually going to cross over. I don't know if they've filmed anything yet with those guys, but I think there's going to be a tie-in with Jesse and with Walt at some point, which would be pretty sweet.
What I would love to see happen with that is maybe get Jesse and Walt like a cameo.
Yeah,
like you see them walking out, but like, I would love it if, you know, whoever's the receptionist for Saul, where they're just like, oh, you know who's in your office again? And he's like, ugh. But like, when he leaves them, he like goes and does something else. So the whole time that he's like doing his Saul thing, he's also dealing with Walt and Jesse. And
yeah,
it's like they mention it, you know, and that's like part of his stress, but they don't ever show them.
Oh yeah, like, they could drag this out for like a whole season, and then like finally get a reveal and like a scene with them like next year or something like that.
Yeah.
Episode 5 is called Gray Matter. That, of course, is the name of the company that Walt helped invent.
Yep.
You see Jesse applying for jobs, and this is where we meet Badger, his friend Badger, who ends up being in a lot of the episodes. We also meet.
By this time, we also have Skinny Pete, and what's the other guy's name?
I forget the other guy. The guy with like the lip ring.
Yeah, is it like it's not Junior, but it's like something like
that. Yeah, he's a big fella.
I got to figure it out. Yeah, keep going.
So we also meet Elliot. This is Walt's old partner, and they have this like crazy party. It's like they you see their house, and Elliot is with Gretchen, and you're already starting to get a sense of what that relationship might have been like. Elliot wants Walt to work at Gray Matter, but then Walt kind of sees right through that immediately because Skylar told him about the cancer. So she's trying to get payments for the cancer and all this, and or at least get him on the health insurance because Walt doesn't have good health insurance. So you're like, okay, fine. We get that. And then what's funny in this scene too, or this episode, is Jesse's in the RV with Badger, and he's showing him all the beakers and the flasks, and he's like naming all of them like what they are. Like, so clearly he'd already learned. Like, he didn't know all that stuff until Walt was telling him. And he didn't know if Jesse was taking in that information, and clearly he was.
It's Combo, by the way. It's his other
friend. Yeah. Combo.
And this is, again, it speaks to Jesse's character because he's capable of much more than he kind of gets credit for at the beginning. Because, like you said, he's actually learning from Walt. And which was funny because he had never done that before in his whole life before. Like, he never learned from him in high school. Because remember, there's that line where it's like, did you learn anything in my class? And he's like, no.
Yeah, and he finds one of his old papers at his house in the previous episode where he got like an F and it said, apply yourself. Like, you know, so he was not a great student, but he's interested in making meth. And he was so mad that he thought he followed the directions perfectly and it didn't look as clear as the way Walt did it. So he kept destroying it. And Badger was obviously getting pretty pissed about that. They have like an intervention for Walt. And that's where Marie is, the sister-in-law, is like, Walt should be able to do whatever he wants. And then Skylar loses her mind over that. So Walt starts treatment. He knows he's going to need money. Skylar's under the impression that Elliot is paying for it. But Walt goes to Jesse and is like, all right, we gotta start to cook. Now, the other question I would have for you is, knowing the relationship there and what's going on, would you take money from Elliot to pay for your cancer treatments?
Well, just to speak to that, I think that this is the most important episode in the entire series in this season. Because this is the moment, like you said, if it were me, yes, I would have.
Yeah, because I think
at what point? Yeah. At what point? And this is where it becomes not to, you know, I'm going to pull this card out of the deck, but like this is where it becomes Walter White becomes the tragic hero, quote unquote, the tragic anti-hero. If this whole thing is a Greek tragedy, which it kind of is.
Yeah.
This is where, and it's the pride of Walter White that ultimately leads not only to his demise, but everyone he's ever met. Like, this ruins everyone's life around him, and it's this decision.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
To not take help from people who genuinely want to help him.
Right.
And from here on out, this is Walter White's ego on display.
But I sort of see where Walt's coming from because... So this is his previous partner. They should have been equals. They both should have been millionaires. And he stole his girlfriend.
Yes.
Like, that is it. I understand why he would be the last guy to accept money from. However, the alternative, like, the reason why it's even more surprising is the alternative, he already kind of knows what this life is going to be like. He's already murdered two people.
Yeah,
like he's willing to do this and continue to make meth, and he knows how dangerous it can be. He knows what kind of people. I mean, maybe he doesn't know exactly. Like, he hasn't met Tuco yet, and he hasn't met Gus Fring yet. Like, he hasn't met some of these other guys down the road. But the fact that he's already broken so many laws and knows how difficult it is, and here's this money. Like, I'm prideful as well, but yeah, you probably just need to take that money.
But again, and this is this
and like
is
pay him back or something. You know, like I don't know.
The main ingredient of this whole thing is his arrogance and his belief that, like, he can do this by himself without anybody, without the advice of his family.
Right.
He didn't tell for a month that he had cancer because he was trying to figure out on his own. The fact that he thinks that he can do anything he wants by himself,
and then
regardless of the feelings of anybody.
Right, and then there's even, and we'll go back to episode 6, but in the final episode of this season, you know, we find out, you know, Marie is like a klepto or whatever. She's like stealing stuff from stores, and Walt basically asks Skylar, he's like, what would you do if it were me that stole, like, Marie? Like, what would you, like, what if you found out that I stole stuff? Just stole stuff. And she goes, you wouldn't want to find out. And so right away, like, that's another, like, I don't think he was ever going to tell her anyway. But it's very clear, like, how she really looks down on people breaking even, like, the smallest law. Like, she would not put up with that crap at all. Episode 6, Crazy Handful of Nothing is what it's called. And so Walt basically, like, lays down the law to Jesse. He says, no more bloodshed. And so he's because again, they've killed two people. And so now you get a flash forward to Walt walking. And this is later on in the episode, but you get a little flash forward. Walt, he's now bald. He's walking with like a sack in his hand. You don't know what it is. There's chaos. Something exploded behind him. And you're like, oh my God. Like, so, like, that's also the scene where, not just because he's bald and he looks like Lex Luthor or anything like that, but that's where you're like, all right, this guy's going full criminal now and he doesn't give a shit.
Nope. And that's when you can tell that he doesn't give a shit about anyone.
Right.
You know, And it's an amazing thing to watch because, like, you at the time, like, up until this point, you're like, oh, well, you know, there's this really sympathetic character. Like, he's sick and, you know, he's just trying to help his family. And but you know, like, you know from the interaction with Elliot and you know from how he handled that with Skyler, like, when they were leaving the party and he was, like, basically just, like, ripping her apart for, like, even asking.
Right.
And then going back to Tuco after he had almost killed Jesse.
Right, like, right.
He doesn't give a shit about anybody.
No, he doesn't. He's and what's funny is the way this started is he wants this money, not even really for himself. He just wants to, because he thinks he's going to die, and he doesn't want his family to have all this debt. So he knows he has one kid with a second on the way and his wife. He doesn't want to leave them in debt, but what he's doing here is so much worse, like, which he doesn't understand.
And that's the thing. It's like, I have a hard time reconciling this in my head that, like, oh, well, he's doing this to, like, help his family. Like, I don't think so. I think why he's doing this is so that people don't, like, if his family, if he dies and his family becomes destitute, like, even in death, he thinks that would be a poor reflection on him.
Yeah, you know, true. I mean? Like, yeah, no, I could see that. I could definitely see that being the case.
And it's a completely narcissistic, sociopathic thing that, like, well, and, like, you don't get it right away, but having watched it so many times and knowing what happens,
yeah,
like, that whole thing, and it happens, you get it at the end. In the very last episode where him and Skyler are on the screen for the last time, where he finally admits that thing to her, you get that, like, this was never about that. Never. Because remember, there's that scene in the beginning, like an episode before, where he says to somebody, like, I'm awake now.
Yeah.
Like, basically, when you find out that you're going to die, you can do whatever the fuck you want, and it doesn't matter.
Right.
And that's right. What he's clinging to. When he's like, and it came right at the moment where he smashed the kid's leg who was making fun of his son. Like,
right.
What are they going to do?
Yeah.
Like, kill me? Like, I'm already dying.
No.
So what?
Yeah, it doesn't have a fear of it anymore at all. And. Yeah. So this also in episode 6, Jesse discovers that Walt has cancer. Walt doesn't even tell him. Like, Jesse finds out because, and then I think you're starting to learn more too. Like, so Jesse is like, oh yeah, my aunt had that, and like, so he's a little bit more experienced than in like the ways of the world, I guess you would say, than you might think. Because I think Walt just looks at him as like a dumb kid. Like, that's how he thinks of him. But you're like, no, this guy has a lot more experience in the world than you would think. Then. They're asking, like, who took Crazy 8's place? And he says, some guy named Tuco, which is sweet. It's a good tease ahead to Tuco. Walt's still pissed off about, you know, they're not getting enough money as he thinks they deserve. He's pushing Jesse, tells him to grow some fucking balls at one point. Then you get the scene where Hank goes through the science inventory because, you know, the mask, as you mentioned, gets traced back to the high school. Jesse is friends with Skinny Pete, as we mentioned, and Skinny Pete was in jail with Tuco. So those guys get introduced to Tuco, or I'm sorry, Jesse first goes and gets the shit beat out of him because he's like, he gives them all this great meth. He's like, oh, this is great. He's like, how about some money? And he's like, and then he just beats the shit out of him. So here's the other question I would have for you is after Jesse comes back, like, hospitalized, he got beat up so bad. Are you going back to Tuco?
If you're Walter White, yes.
Apparently so, yeah.
You know, because, again, like, he didn't care. He didn't care what happened to Jesse. And I think, and this is where when Jesse's, to go back to something you said, when he's, Jesse's talking about taking care of his aunt, and that's the house he lives in now, is her house, and she left it to him.
Right.
You get the sense that Jesse is a good person who just does bad things. And Walt is a bad person who tries to justify doing good. Like, he's trying to say that, like, what he's doing is for good.
Right, and, like, most of his life he did good things, even though he may probably didn't want to, but he just did.
Yeah. And like you said, like, I think they go back to Tuco because Walt sees, like, well, that's where we're going to make the money, and I don't give a shit that he almost beat you to death. Like, we're doing it.
Yeah, we did. Like, this is where we can go, and it's one-stop shopping. Also, it was funny, a good quote in this one is Hank is talking to Walt, and he says, quote, you wouldn't know a criminal if it was close enough to check you for a hernia. Like, Hank, there's so many little messages about Hank being like, you know, just like putting Walt down and also just being like, you don't know what this is like. And like, oh, this is like, you know what I mean? Like, and there's so many little setups where Hank thinks he's like this great cop. And the whole time he's hanging out with Walt, who becomes a bigger and bigger and bigger drug pin, like the entire series.
It's nuts. Like, And that's why I would urge anybody who's even watched to watch this season again, because like those are the things like you see them on like the second and third viewing. You're like, oh, oh, oh.
Yeah.
You know, when Hank is like just basically ripping on Walt. Like, oh, he's yeah. like, oh, yeah. He's like, and he's like, oh, your gun's heavy. He's like, yeah, that's why they have men carry them. Like, basically.
Oh, he's nonstop making fun of him. And
yeah.
So we also, this is where Heisenberg is born. It's episode yeah. 6. Tuco asks Walt what his name is, and he just says Heisenberg. And then he blows the place up, and now you go back to, you know, at the beginning, oh, I guess it was last episode where he, or no, this episode, he, you know, he, again, science, he blows it up, gets money, and then he sets up the next buy. And I think Tuco at that point has, like, respect for him. He's like, this guy's nuts. This guy's insane. Yeah. So we can't really intimidate him. All right, finally, the last episode of the season, episode 7, entitled A No Rough Stuff Type Deal. They're at, like, a PTA meeting, and Walt fingers Skyler under the table. So
and the bangs are in the car.
Then they have sex in the car. So Walt, and again, just proving to you, the more crimes Walt makes, like the more like alive he feels.
And it's because they bring the DEA in to talk to the school, and they have him. And basically, he got away with it, and that's
yes.
the juice. Like him doing whatever he wants and getting away with it, like that's what drives him.
Yeah,
and it comes out in this season as like a sexual release, which is really strange.
Mm-hmm. That's how he
Skyler's
does.
Skyler's into it. So
Skyler was. At first she said, no, this is not the right place for a fingering. And then afterwards she was like, yes, it is.
Yeah,
and then they made love in the car.
Aztec and let her rip.
Jesse says to Walt at one point, you look like Lex Luthor, which is just a good line. So then they yep. meet in the junkyard, and it's pretty funny because Jesse's like, why don't we just meet like at the mall? He's like, this is what a person, like a criminal in a movie, this is like where they would meet. So Walt wants, this is funny because Walt wants all of the money owed to him. He shows up with like half a, like 0.53 pounds of meth. And then they clearly can't make enough of it. And so Tuco's pissed, and he wants more of it, and he's not going to give him the money. And then Walt's like, hey, can you handle 4 pounds next week? It's like, you couldn't give me 2 pounds this week.
Yeah.
He's losing his mind. So then, again, once again, Jesse says he's out, and Walt has to talk him back into it again. So it's like, this has already happened multiple times in the first season.
Yeah, and it's because, you know, he... And like the psychological issues that they write into this show are fascinating. You
yeah.
know what I mean? Because it's like that. It's an abusive relationship is basically what it boils down to. And
it is
an abusive relationship between like a father and son. And it's that like emotional abuse that he gives him by calling him an idiot and saying like, you'd be nothing without me. And like, where would you be without me? And like, and it's a way of like controlling him.
Yeah, know? No, it definitely is. And then, we also, in this episode, you get more of Marie as a shoplifter, and Hank has Cubans. So it's like, these are these like minor, like law-breaking things. You know, and Walt even calls him out. He's like, oh, I thought Cubans were illegal. And, you know, so they're kind of pushing that out a little bit. You also get the scene, and this is where it starts to get, like later on in the series, some of the stuff gets so fantastical. But this is one where you're like, all right, I can see this guy making meth. I could see him, you know, exploding something. Again, if he knows how it works. But when Walt and Jesse go and steal the methylamine, where I was like, I don't know if they could really pull that off.
Well, I think the comical part about it is it was just such like a shitty robbery. Like they locked the guy in the porta potty.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean?
That's true.
It was completely JV. But you know, they're kind of learning on the fly. But like Walt knows, and like where would you even know where to find methylamine? You know?
Yeah, that was odd. You also, which was, this is very telling as well, is. So Jesse's starting to understand. He's like, oh, like you need money for like your cancer treatments. So he's like, I kind of get why you're breaking bad. I think he even drops the line or you're breaking bad type of in there. But he goes, how much cash do you need? And Walt's answer is more. So yeah. It's like, okay, like there is no number then. Like that sounds like a guy's going to keep doing this forever. Some of the comedy in this episode, though, is the open house at Jesse's. Like they're in the basement making meth, and then there's like a full-on open house. So that wasn't bad.
No, he keeps like yelling, and he like yells at the guy who like tries to get in the basement.
Yeah, yeah, he's screaming at him. And then the last, we also, two things at the end here. For the very first time, the meth is blue. So he had to tweak it. And again, I think it's because of the methylamine that they got or whatever. So the meth is blue, and which is going to be obviously a big part of the series going forward. Tuco at first is like, what the hell is this? And then he tries some. And for the second time, right after he tries some meth, he beats the shit out of somebody. And this time it's his own guy. He goes absolutely crazy on him right in front of Jesse and Walt. And I think that kind of scared them a little bit.
Yeah, and I think you see it on their face because that's kind of where the season ends.
Yeah.
You know, where they're kind of like both like just staring. Like they leave.
Yeah.
And they're just kind of like staring like where they were. You know what I mean? Where
yeah.
They're like, oh, shit. And I think there's these oh, shit moments for the two of them are like, what are we doing? And I think the great part about Jesse's character is he is constantly over his head.
Always.
And he's just trying to stay alive. You know, and it's for six seasons. Like this, you're like, you're just waiting for this kid to die.
So I know you said you obviously wouldn't go down this direction. Like if Elliot gave you a lifeline, you would just take that. But let's say hypothetically, you get away with a couple of these, you know, meth deals and you have enough money to cover your bills. Do you think you would stop right there or would you keep going and be like, you know what? I might be able to make millions of dollars doing this.
Well, you know, I think you cover my expenses and all of that thing. But like, the allure of what would you do if you knew you had nothing to lose? You know, I've never been to that point.
Right.
Like because there's that ethics question, like what crime would you commit if you knew you could get away with it?
Right. Like if, let's say this was the night of the purge, what would you do?
And that's it. So someone, I forget who it was, be like, they should make a movie about the purge like the next day.
Yeah, just like clean up.
At work, you're like, oh, where's Steve? And you're like, oh. And
Steve
you're like,
died.
I killed Steve last night.
You're like, legally, though. Legally.
Legally. You know,
yeah, it's fine.
You have to go. Yeah, I mean, I'm not a big murderer.
No, me neither.
But, you know, we've been, however many, 75 episodes on WEEI of Dork Podcast. You know I'm a big fan of a heist.
Ooh,
you know,
a good heist. Yeah, sure.
You know I'm fucking robbing somebody.
Yeah, that'd be good.
If I knew I could get away with it.
A good heist would be good.
Yeah.
What would your drug lord name be, Ryan?
My drug lord name?
So he came up with Heisenberg on his own. Like, nobody called him Heisenberg until he called himself Heisenberg. So I was thinking, like, if I was in that same situation and Tuco was like, what's your name? Like, you got to give him a name. It doesn't have to be your real name. So I would probably go with, like, an obscure, like, 80s, 90s baseball player. I'd be like, I'm Pete Incaviglia. And he'd be like, oh, hey, Pete Incaviglia. Or, like, I'm Jeremy Burnitz. He's like, oh. You guys hear about the new John Jaha out there selling smack? I think that'd be the way to go. Or like Orlando Merced.
Like a little Todd Benzinger. That's what they call me.
I'm Bobby Thigpen. How can I help you? I think that'd be the way to go. Mickey Tendleton?
I would obviously go like mythological. I don't know if I would go Norse, Greek, or Roman, but I'm going with like some mythological name. You know, something having to do with like a trickster or like a thief. You know what I mean?
Loki.
Loki's too easy.
Yeah, Loki. You got to go a little bit more obscure.
Yeah. Like there's like Moonin is one of
that's a good
Odin's
one.
Ravens.
That's a good one.
So you know, Hungin and Moonin. You know, so I would like you know.
What about Rusty Greer?
Rusty Greer, yeah, that's a good one.
He's a nice
Lingle Mungle. That's a good one.
That's pretty good. Yeah, then your name's Geronimo. You know on the Albuquerque streets. It'd be pretty good.
Geronimo Baroa.
Yeah, oh, I love. What about Candy Maldonado? I love
like
Candy
that.
Maldonado. What a name!
Yeah,
what a ball player too.
Who was it? Marty Barrett.
Kent Herbeck.
Yeah, see, we're like, wait a minute, because you know you're gonna run into some like baseball fan and they're gonna be like, what?
Yeah, he's like, oh, you're the Twins' first baseman from the early '90s. I'm like, what? No, I'm. Uh-oh.
No, I'm Gary Gaetti. I didn't wear ear flaps when I was at the bat.
Oh, what an asshole. What an absolute asshole.
Was he the last guy to be able to do that? Wasn't he like grandfathered in?
Like, yeah, he probably was. Yeah, he was like Gordie Howe. Yeah, he was the Gordie Howe of baseball, Gary Gaetti.
Actually, but, shit. What was the guy?
John Olerud.
Nope, the last hockey player to – Craig McTavish was the
oh,
last
Craig McTavish was, you're right.
Not having to wear a helmet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ryan, if you could steal a smooch from Skyler, Marie, or Gretchen, who would it be and why?
Well, as we see it in season one, Skyler's kind of a freak.
I think it'd be Skyler, too. Like, I understand why people hate Skyler. She seems like she's always on Walt, and she doesn't seem very, I don't know, she doesn't seem great most of the time. But there's more sex in this first season than the other ones. I'll go Skyler here.
Yeah, and so I'm going to say this just to play the devil's advocate, and this might be a little bit of a hot take. You have to understand, again, I've watched this entire series four or five times.
Yes.
And just the barrage of shit that Skylar has to deal with. Like, I would say, like, this is a woman who has lived in constant fear for years. So, like, that's going to eat. She's not going to behave rationally. She's going to do stupid things. She's going to act out because she's afraid of the people she lives with.
Correct.
Like, so let's call that. I would say that Deb from Dexter is a far worse character.
I never saw Dexter, I mean.
Oh,
or Deb.
She sucks. Well, like, she's awful. And she's awful. And
Skylar's pretty bad, though. Like, I understand your argument. Like, I would say, you know, Walter White is also bad. Like, Walter White sucks, but, like, sucks in, like, an entertaining way. Like, Skylar's a pain in the ass a lot of the times. And I hate the kid, too. Yeah. And I understand he has cerebral palsy, and I'm sorry about that. He actually has it, the actor, RJ Mitty, has it, but not as severe as the character. So I guess he plays it up a little bit more. I feel bad for that. But just the stuff he says, I think he's kind of a shithead.
And I think, so, one of the articles I read is he was meant to be kind of like the voice of reason in the whole show. Mm. And there's this whole relationship with Jesse and Walt, and then Walt and his actual son, where they're like, and this is going to sound terrible, but like there are people who believe that like the reason that Walt is the way he is with Jesse is because he sees his own son as like a poor reflection of him.
Oh boy! Yeah, sure.
And that's terrible.
Oh, it's awful.
You have to understand that like Walt's a terrible person.
Yes, he is.
You know, so like his pride is like is such that like I have a son who has a disability, and that's a shame to me.
Well,
so I'm
going
to take it out on this kid.
I mean, because think about it. Like they didn't put that in there like just like randomly.
No.
You know what I mean? They're not like, oh, and by the way, like he's gonna have a high school son who has cerebral palsy. Like that wasn't by accident.
No, and I think that is meant to show, one, the financial burden that, because he needs care. Like, if someone has cerebral palsy, like, they need constant care, so that's
right.
Financial stress.
Right, more motivation for that, that's true. Yeah. Right.
But I think that's more of, like, forgive the pun, but that's more of a crutch for Walt to be like, see, I need to do this because of this.
Right, and same thing with Skylar being pregnant. Like, you don't know what's on the way, so you're just like, more
financial.
Yeah, and
there's a real possibility that they could be set up for more medical bills, because you don't know, you know, so...
It's an absolute heck of a show, though. I mean, what a ridiculous, insane program.
I mean, even like you can tell just by me talking about it right now, I could talk about this for like another hour. Like I was exhausted. I was out until 2 o'clock in the morning last night. I was exhausted, and this has like re-energized me.
It's great. I mean, it's awesome. And so I don't know how regularly we're going to be doing the other seasons, but we will. We'll get there. We'll do season 2, 3, 4, and 5. Next week we have. We're going to take a look at all the trailers and news and notes from San Diego Comic-Con. So that should be a good one. I know DC has a lot of stuff, so maybe it'll surprise us, or we can just make fun of it. That'll probably be next week.
Yep.
Anything else on Breaking Bad, Ryan?
Watch it.
Watch
please.
It.
And if you like this episode, please feel free. If you have thoughts and theories and want to know more about what we think, please Arvon D on Twitter or Twitch. I'll be on Twitch tonight. Please come on and... ask me all of your Breaking Bad questions, and I'll be happy to give you my 2 cents.
Very good. At Dork Podcast as well on Twitter. DorkPodcast@gmail.com. If it's a little bit more long form, you can rate, review, and subscribe on the iTunes. Tell a friend. Tell a dork. We also have a YouTube channel. We are updating videos there. YouTube.com/DorkPodcast. That's going to do it for this week. Hopefully it sounds fine. I don't know. I don't know if I mentioned this, but we're in a different studio, and it's a little foreign to me. Hopefully this gets uploaded. Hopefully this is fine. But thanks again for listening to this, and we will talk to you soon.